Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zmira Ozirowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim Perek Pei Dalet 84. Yesterday, we finished learning the section of Mizmorim written by Asaf. Today, we begin a new section devoted to some of the Mizmorim written by the sons of Korach. Before we begin this section, let's discuss for a minute who were the sons of Korach. Korach was one of the most notorious rebels in all of Jewish history. His sons grew up in a home where they constantly heard their father rant about how Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen were unworthy of leadership, and how Korach should be the one to lead the people. For years, Korach's sons joined him in stirring up dissent, leading protests against the leaders. And then one day, they watched as their father received the punishment he deserved, swallowed alive by the earth and sent straight to Gehenna. They too were swallowed up, for they had followed in his rebellious ways. But in Parshat Pinchas, the Torah tells us something remarkable. Uvnei Korach lo metu, but the sons of Korach did not die. Though they had joined their father in his rebellion and were swallowed into the depths along with him, they were not lost forever. Why not? Rashi explains, Uvishat ha-machloket hirharu tshuva b'libam. At the time of the conflict, they began to feel thoughts of tshuva in their hearts. Even as they remained outwardly loyal to their father's path, something began to shift internally. They didn't act differently, but they thought differently. In the midst of the chaos and defiance, they allowed space in their hearts for tshuva. Because of that quiet inner shift, Hashem carved out a unique place for them, even within Gehenna. As the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes, Makom nitbatzer lehem beGehenim, a fortified place was made for them in Gehenim, vayishvu alav v'amru shira, where they sat and sang praises to Hashem. Rava Barachana even recounts how he passed by and heard them singing, Moshe utorato emet vehim badaim. Moshe and his Torah are true, and they, Korach and his followers, are liars. Every 30 days, Gehenim would overturn them like meat in a pot, and still they sing, Moshe v'torato emet. Moshe and his Torah are true. When they saw the earth miraculously open to swallow the rebels, they recognized the truth and they completed their tshuva. They couldn't remain silent. They turned their punishment into a platform for praise. Hashem gave them a second chance. Yes, they experienced Gehenim, but not as a place of destruction. For them, it became a place of purification, of spiritual clarity, of transformation. Eventually, they were fully redeemed. They and their descendants rose to greatness, serving as Levim in the Beit HaMikdash and becoming composers of 11 Prakim of Tehillim, singing not just about their past, but offering timeless visions of Geula and closeness to Hashem. Over the next few days, we will explore four of their Mizmorim, which reflect themes that were central to their transformative experience. Many of these themes parallel those found in the Mizmorim written by Asaf, creating a smooth and consistent flow throughout Sefer Gimel of Tehillim. Let us now look at Perek 84. If you remember way back in Perek 83, at the beginning of our study together, Asaf had ended his mizmor with the words, V'ani kirvat Elokim li tov. As for me, closeness to Hashem is the ultimate good. He watches the seeming success of the evil and comforts himself by the realization that the most important thing in the world is his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asaf does not elaborate on this idea in his other mizmorim, but here, the sons of Korach pick up and expand on this theme. Rav Aaron Cutler points out that no one is better positioned to speak about the yearning for closeness to Hashem than the sons of Korach. True, the Korach family was tragically mistaken in its rebellion, but, says Rav Aaron Cutler, their motivation was not entirely evil. At its core, their uprising stemmed from a deep, burning desire to come close to Hashem. Their desire for closeness to Hashem was so intense that they believed that they too could serve in the Kohen Gadol position. Unfortunately, their desire for closeness was tainted by jealousy and pride, and this led them down a dangerous path. Some were swallowed by the earth, others consumed by fire, but beneath the tragedy lay a truth. They were people who yearned. They may have stumbled, dramatically so, but the longing itself was real. As we saw earlier, the family of Korach was marked by this profound spiritual drive, and when the sons of Korach did tshuva, they didn't abandon that longing. Instead, they refined it. They took that same yearning, once misdirected, and transformed it into a force, a passion for pure and true avodat Hashem. It is quite possible that the Bnei Korach wrote the beginnings of this mizmor while sitting in their special designated place in Gehenim. Stuck there for an indefinite amount of time, they called out and said, "How we miss being able to serve as Levim in the Mishkan, to spend time in that special place of Kedusha in the presence of Hashem." These feelings that they felt so vividly in those circumstances were encapsulated into words, which eventually became one of the special mizmorim that Bnei Israel would say as they traveled to the Beit HaMikdash for Aliyah al-Regel and the Shalosh Regalim, the holidays of Sukkot, Pesach, and Shavuot. Let's look inside. Bnei Korach begin with a passionate declaration expressing their deep love for the Mishkan, or the Mikdash. Ma yididut mishkanotecha, how beloved are your dwelling places, Hashem Tzvakot. In Pasuk Gimel 3, they describe their deep longing for the Mikdash. Nechsefa v'gam kalata nafshi, my soul longs, indeed it pines for the chatzrot Hashem, the courtyards of Hashem. Libi b'sari, my heart and my flesh, yirananu al kelchai, sing in joy to the living God. Verse 4, gam tzipor matza bayit, even a bird has found a home, udror kinla, and a swallow a nest for herself. Bnei Korach are jealous of the birds who have a home. They feel that when they are outside of the Mikdash, they are like a wandering bird that has lost its nest. They go on in verse 5, Ashrei Yoshvei Beitecha, praiseworthy are those who dwell in your house. Odi Halalucha Sela, they will yet praise you forever. This famous pasuk is recited in our daily tefillot in Ashrei. Those who have the privilege to constantly be in Hashem's house will eternally praise him, reflecting the idea that spiritual connection brings everlasting joy. This section was originally written by the Bnei Korach as they were longing from up in Gehenim to be able to serve again in the Mishkan. It was then later sung by the people who were coming to visit during Aliyah L'Regel, who are excited to be able to come to the Beit HaMikdash for a brief visit, but also long to be able to stay there permanently. Psukim Vav Techet 6 to 8, the sons of Korach poetically describe the heartfelt journey of those ascending to the Beit HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. This is no ordinary road trip. It's a spiritual ascent filled with longing, effort, and deep joy. Pasuk 6, Ashrei Adam, praiseworthy is the man, Oz Lobach, whose strength is in you, Misilot Bilvavam, in whose heart are the pathways. The Dat Mikra explains that this verse refers to people whose hearts are filled with longing for Hashem, so much so that the very roots to the Beit HaMikdash are engraved in their hearts. Bnei Adam, Asher HaMisilot HaDrachim, these are people who the ways, HaMolichot El Beit Hashem, which are leading to Beit Hashem, Chakukot Bilvavam, are engraved in their hearts, Umishum Kach, and therefore they never make a mistake in their way. These are not just travelers with a destination. They are passionate pilgrims whose inner desire is so strong that they instinctively know the way. They don't need maps or signs or even ways. Their hearts carry them forward. Their yearning is so powerful, it guides their steps and they never lose their way. Go on in verse 7. Ivri be'emek ha-bacha, mayan shitemo. As they pass through the valley of Bacha, they make it into a place of springs. The Dat Mikra beautifully describes the power of this spiritual journey. The valley of Bacha, understood as a dry, desolate place without water, transforms in the eyes of the pilgrims into a mayan, a spring of refreshing water. Ha'olim al-Beit HaMikdash, those who go up to the Beit HaMikdash, be'emek harev she'im bo mayim, they pass through a barren valley, samim oto l'mayan, but their joy turns it into a spring. Their happiness at nearing Beit HaMikdash is so great that even a harsh and lifeless environment feels like a place of spiritual nourishment. Their inner simcha transforms the journey itself. What should be exhausting becomes uplifting. Verse 8, Yachu Michael Achayel, they go from strength to strength. Yira Elokim B'Tzion, they will appear before God in Tzion. According to that Dat Mikra, the phrase Michael Achayel can be understood literally as from wall to wall. This describes the physical journey of the Olei Regel, who traveled from city wall to city wall, from their hometowns to Yerushalayim, steadily progressing towards the Beit HaMikdash. But more deeply, this pasuk is a bracha, that those who journey to Hashem's house should not grow weary. Rather, they should gain strength with every step. The closer they get, the more energized they become. Their spiritual momentum builds, carrying them all the way to the Divine Presence. Hi bracha olim al Beit Hashem, shelo ye afu. It's a blessing to the pilgrims that they do not tire on their way. They become stronger with every step. In verses 9 to 10, we have a request that our tefillot be heard. Hashem Elokim Tzvakot, Shema Tefillati, Hashem, listen to my prayer. Hazina Elokei Yaakov Sela, listen, O God of Yaakov. It is possible that this verse alludes not only to the prayer within this mizmor, but also to the many tefillot that the Olei Regalim recited in the Beit HaMikdash. According to this interpretation, this mizmor may serve as an introduction to the entire tefillah service of the Olei Regalim at the Beit HaMikdash. In verses 11 to 12, we see the joy and meriting to enter the Beit HaMikdash, even temporarily. Kitov yom bechatzrotecha me'elef. For a day in your courtyards is better than a thousand elsewhere. Bacharti histofef beveit elokim. I would rather stand at the threshold of my God's house midor be'ohalei resha than dwell in the tents of wickedness. Reminding us of Asaf's statement back in Mizmor 73, Vani kirvat elokim litov. For me, the closeness to God is good. This pasuk emphasizes that even a fleeting moment in Hashem's presence surpasses a lifetime of worldly pleasure. The words Ohalei Resha, the tents of the evil, reference us back to the rebellion of Korach when Moshe warned Bnei Israel, Parshat Korach, Vaydaber Leidav Limor. He spoke to the people saying, Suruna, remove yourselves me'al Ohalei Anashim from the tents Harusha'im, from the tents of the evil people. And do not touch anything that belongs to them, lest you be swept away from all their sins. Bnei Korach have done complete tshuva and recognize how much better it is to be serving Hashem properly in His sanctuary than to be part of the Ohalei Resha, the tents of evil of Korach's rebellion. In conclusion, this mizmor can be understood on multiple levels. On one level, the Bnei Korach, writing from their unique place in Gehenim, express an intense yearning to spend even a single day in the Mikdash, basking in Hashem's presence. On another level, the Mizmor speaks to those making Aliyah L'Regel, pilgrims who joyfully ascended to the Beit HaMikdash for the festivals. While they relish the experience, there is also a bittersweet element. They know their stay is temporary, and they long for the ability to remain there permanently. The Dat Mikra offers a profound third perspective. Halishonot ha-miviyot shuka aza levo al-Beit Hashem. This Mizmor's passionate longing to dwell in the house of Hashem, u'imatzei bo tamid, and to stay there forever, expresses more than just a physical desire to be in the Mikdash. It reflects a deeper, enduring yearning for closeness to Hashem, for a life infused with holiness. This longing remains just as real and powerful, even when one is far from the actual site of the Beit HaMikdash. Though our Mizmor was originally said by actual Olei Regel, those who ascended to Yerushalayim for the Chagim, its emotional and spiritual message is timeless. It can and should be recited at all times by anyone who seeks a deeper connection with Hashem and places their trust in Him. Just as the Olei Regel longed to be in Hashem's presence, we too yearn for that closeness in our own lives. The journey towards Hashem is not always smooth. At times, we pass through the Valley of Tears, the Emek HaBacha, facing pain, confusion, or distance. Yet even in those moments, we keep moving forward, mechayel echayel, from strength to strength, always striving to grow in our avodat Hashem. While we may not always feel Hashem's presence all the time, even a fleeting moment of true closeness brings us immense joy. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskovitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shevita Plita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day, sponsored by their grandchildren Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.